intercepted by Notre Dame.
For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
touchdown Notre Dame,
or Irish win.
He's in for touchdown. The Irish have come from behind.
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name's Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. And Ed, it's interesting. The Dallas Cowboys, Notre Dame, people like that tend to have a, love-hate relationship. And arguably, Mike Bray is nothing of the type that kind of garners emotional reaction based on how he is. He's a very unassuming guy. He's very low-keyed. But yet, there's that love-hate relationship with him among the Notre Dame faithful. And for the guys that have the love for him, this is clearly the year that's given them the rise for occasion.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's done a terrific job. I mean, I've never really understood the hate. I mean, it's I can understand frustration. I can understand getting a little bit annoyed at times. But, I mean, I don't know how you could hate a guy who basically, basketball's a second-class sport at Notre Dame. And it was even in worse shape when he got there.
It definitely was, but you've hit on a good point. Let's just hit this real quick. I think a lot of people who are Notre Dame fans think of Notre Dame during the glory days from a basketball standpoint of when Digger was there, and we would routinely knock off number one programs. And it wasn't so much number one programs. We would routinely knock off top programs that would come into the ACC, and you had the toilet paper throwing after the first basket. You had, shortly after that, the wipeout guy. But there just was a euphoria that existed where we kind of thought, and granted, with those years with Kelly Trepica and Tracy Jackson and Dave Batten and Flowers, there was a belief that Notre Dame existed on the basketball court as much as the football.
I don't. Are you serious? No, I mean,
I really do. I think so. I think that Notre Dame fans got caught up in that and assumed that, maybe it's bad memories or whatever, but if you really look at the overall record of Digger, yeah, he got to the Final Four once. He got to the Final Eight once. He got to the Sweet 16, I think, once.
I just think you got to put it in context. I mean, it's just such a different world. I mean, there were independents that mattered. The conferences were not nearly as dominant. The March Madness was not nearly as big a deal. It was a lot fewer teams. There were one or two basketball games a week on television. It wasn't, there was barely ESPN yet. I mean, it was just a completely different world. And Notre Dame had a great brand. And you're right, they had a lot of success and a lot of support. I don't think you could, ever say that it was, on any sort of equal footing with football. But it was just, it was just a different, time.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that for a second. I mean, it seemed to me, and I'm guessing
it was no different than IU football was to IU basketball. I think it was the same thing.
No, come on. No. When was IU football ever anywhere near
Final Four? Thing. Mallory would go to bowl games, and,
They were. They built some excitement. But here's my point. I think that what caused the euphoria was Digger, one, I don't know if you remember, but he used to make claims prior to the game. I'll never forget, only because Joe Frederick lived in my dorm, but Digger came out like on Tuesday and said Joe Frederick, was going to have a big game on Saturday. And I'll be damned if Frederick didn't hit like four key three-pointers.
Yeah, but I mean, Mike Bray says stuff like that, and it doesn't make. I mean, but he's
it doesn't
not,
even it doesn't
well,
even make the news. I know
Digger was a blowhard and still is.
Right, and that's the whole point. Is
what would you rather have?
I'm trying to get at
a blowhard who completely loses touch with the game, or would you rather have a guy that basically wins 10 to 14 games in the Big East every year, the toughest conference in the country?
I would have a guy that wins 10 or 14 games in the Big East, but I'd like that guy to at least win a couple games in the NCAA tournament.
I mean, and do I have to remind you about Arkansas Little Rock? I mean...
No, I know. My point is this, is that people tend to forget those kind of stuff because Digger was such a blowhard. He was such an enigmatic figure that he could overcome those losses because he drew so much attention to himself, and Mike Bray is not that kind of guy.
Oh,
and I think that's what hurts him.
No,
Yeah,
but I mean, if it hurts, it's with people who are more interested in style over substance. I mean, give me a break. I mean, I don't think you could. I mean, it's laughable. You know, I mean, yes, you're right. We need to win some games in the tournament this year, but if Bray, you know, gets to the Sweet 16 this year or whatever, I mean, he is rapidly approaching and close to surpassing Digger's record as a head basketball coach.
I agree. No, I will agree with you on that. My only point would be this. Look at this.
And the other thing is look
scenarios.
At this. Bray has the thing that I think is most impressive to me is that certainly there's been ups and downs, but the thing is that he learns. He has become a better coach over his tenure at Notre Dame. Digger peaked in his first 5 years, and then it was a long, slow, ugly death.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I would say this, though, that even in spite of all that, I mean, I do think that Bray is a great regular season coach. I mean, he's proven it. He's done it, and this year is an accentuation of that. However, here's the scenario. Scenario one is, what if we lose in the first or second round?
I mean, what if we
this
do?
Year? Then the problem is the cat calls are going to come that, you know, the Notre Dame haters that are on that side of the fence are going to say, what are you surprised about? He's done this repeatedly.
You mean the Notre Dame haters or the Bray haters? The Bray haters.
The Bray haters. The Bray haters are going to come out in force and say, what are you surprised about? This guy has done this for 10 years.
You're never going to sway those people anyways. I mean, are you going to...
No, I don't know. I would argue that. I would argue that.
You're going to sway a small portion of them every year. I mean, there's a certain segment that is never going to be satisfied until you've got, you know, Krzyzewski-like numbers. The fact of the matter is that there's all these coaches all over the country. Very few of them have good postseason records because you just don't you don't consistently win in the postseason. It just doesn't work that way. Look at Rick Barnes at Texas. Big article this week in the New York Times about, you know, how he has great talent every year and they're falling apart again. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of programs.
Yeah, you could argue that. You could argue Wisconsin, you know, typically plays really well in the regular season, then shows up in the tournament.
But I will definitely agree with you. That, to me, it is very important for this team, which is clearly one of the 10 best teams in the country this year. I mean, I think, you know, these rankings do mean something. If you have this kind of record in this kind of a conference, and, you know, this isn't a particularly strong year in terms of college basketball, I don't think in terms of really heavyweight teams, but there are a lot of real good teams, I think. You know, so this team has to win these first two games, that first weekend of the tournament, and then to me, then they can really relax and play, and then who knows what could happen.
But I agree.
They're going to have
totally
a couple
agree.
Times and where the noose feels pretty tight on that Friday, you know, and Sunday if they're playing in Chicago, and they might go into one of those 3 or 4 or 5 minute stretches where they can't buy a basket, and then we're going to see what they're made of.
Right. Right. No, and I think that's exactly right. And I do think that, you know, look, there's no doubt about it. I don't think anybody's going to argue the Big East isn't the best conference this year in college basketball. Having said that, Bray has clearly shown that his team is the top echelon. There's no doubt about this. There's no, you know, any kind of goof to Notre Dame being in the top 10.
Seton Hall, they have totally just beat St. John's by 15 tonight. You know, so, they are, I don't know. I mean,
and we struggled with them. It wasn't like we put them away. The Big East is clearly that, but yet, night in and night out, and I would argue the Villanova game, I'm telling you what, I totally assumed that game could easily go Villanova's way. You know, they were due to play well. They were due to shoot the ball well. And I really felt like we came out and played the perfect game. We didn't give them any easy looks, and then we just happened to catch fire and light it up. But my point is that typically the Bray haters would point towards the end of the season, the last couple games, going into the tournament, when we tend to start to slide, and this team is not doing that at all. I mean, not at all. So if Bray is able to pull out the first two wins in the first two rounds, which I do think those are the games you have to win, once you get to the Sweet 16, it's up for grabs. You can't say that losing a Sweet 16 game is a total disappointment. I mean, you'd have to be a number one seed,
right,
who's probably the top number one seed, in order to be disappointed with the round of 16 loss. I mean, there's just too much parity. So I think if Bray can get to the round of 16, he's going to eliminate a lot of those naysayers. Not all of them, like you say, because there's always going to be, you know, the Mike Krzyzewskis of the world that think we're that, which we're not. But if he gets to the Sweet 16, I do think he's going to win a lot of people over with what he's done
this
year.
It's borderline embarrassing, the support that the team has gotten around here this year. I mean, you know, it's just...
The last game was good.
You know what? Everybody's saying that, but that's just because it's a relative judgment. I mean, yeah, it was good to the rest of the year, but it wasn't like, you know, off the hook kind of crazy. No, it wasn't anything like that. Were the students, you know, pretty loud? Were they? Yeah, they were fine, but, you know, give me a break. I mean, you know... It's nice that they're finally coming to the party. It's nice that they're finally getting on the bandwagon. And I certainly don't exempt the season ticket holders and the fans, or, you know, the non-student fans, the community fans either. I mean, it's just been this is first of all, it's a really, if you like basketball, it's a team that's really easy on the eyes. They're incredibly unselfish. They hustle. They're smart. They play basketball the way it's supposed to be played for the most part. And, you know, they've got Hansborough, who really lays it all out there. So if you like basketball, you should be there watching it. And if you're a Notre Dame basketball fan, you should be there watching it. And if you're, they play in the best conference in the country, you know, I mean, there were plenty, I mean, these statistics that you're reading about the numbers of fans that were at these games, those had to be numbers that mean tickets sold, not people who actually showed up. You could knock another 1,000 off all those numbers, those attendance numbers. And even these games that have been classified as sellouts, supposedly there were 4 sellouts this year, the places were not full. I mean, not even close. So,
yeah,
you know, it's now finally people are kind of waking up. And, you know, so they'll be all on the bandwagon now, which is great. But I don't really kind of get it, to tell you the truth, because you know, for the most part, it's certainly not a boring style of basketball. I mean, it's certainly not a.
Well, not only that, but I mean, if you would think if anywhere in the world you would do this, it would be in the state of Indiana, where basketball is king. I mean, there's basketball fans in Indiana tend to be the most knowledgeable basketball fans, and yet here we are with a team that is about as, you know, arguably Bobby Knight-esque type team. And yet we can't.
Well, I don't know. I mean, hardcore IU fans aren't going to necessarily go watch Notre Dame basketball. Maybe a few of them are, or people who have split allegiances.
No, but I mean,
you know, or whatever, or local people.
But I mean, look at Hansborough. The type of, he's a perfect prototype.
Right.
But you know,
I'm actually more disappointed in the students. I mean, how you can't get a couple, you know, I mean, for Big East games, you can't kind of fill up the student section. I mean, you know, don't give me the stuff about, you know, Duke and you know, some of these places, because you know you're not stepping up to the plate and give.
Yeah, well, don't even get me started on the student body at Notre Dame, because they're not what it used to be.
You know, I mean, I just you know, I can understand you know economics. The tickets aren't a cheap season cost for people, but you know, there's 2,000 less seats than there were in that place. The place is absolutely gorgeous.
Right.
Okay, the Jumbotron is great. They're trying everything, you know, to get people out there. The students are the ones that have all the money. You know, they can affording tickets. I mean, first of all, they're much cheaper for them. So I you know, again, it's just disappointing, especially as somebody who lived and died with Notre Dame basketball and has been in that arena again when it had 2,000 more seats and it was impossible to get a ticket. And again, that was a different era. My argument just on the Bray thing also holds true to, you know, you can't automatically just kind of go back to 1977 and expect the same dynamic. But, you know, there are plenty of places in this country, plenty of programs in this country that have not had the sustained, you know, pretty much consistent success that Notre Dame basketball has had that draw, that draw better student support and better community support. So I don't know. It's disappointing. And, you know, maybe – I don't know. What will it – you know, do things take off after a great run in the NCAA tournament? You know, will season ticket sales spike if they make it to the Elite Eight or if they – you know what I mean? I don't know.
I would think it would be pathetic if they don't. I mean, what do you want? I mean, here Bray is on the verge of arguably stealing the show from the elite basketball programs. And if we can't get some excitement generated, I would argue even if this team makes it to the Sweet 16, I mean, my God, that would be pathetic, especially if he makes it to the 8 or even miraculously.
Abramidis and Scott Martin are going to be back next year. Atkins, who's basically played a ton of minutes, so that's basically four frontline guys are going to return next year. You know, they're going to miss Hansborough, of course. Nash has been kind of, has done everything for them this year and has really had, I think, an underrated season in terms of getting the dirty work done.
I agree.
You know, but, I mean, Cooley obviously can play. I mean, you know, he can bang you around. So they're going to have another real good, solid team next year. And no matter what happens in the tournament, I hope the support kind of kicks up a notch next year. And I think hopefully there'll be a little bit of glow, a little bit of halo effect from the football team and from the, from the season next year. You know, if it's a good football season, that always helps, I think. You know, if people are excited about things in general on campus, they'll come out for them. So we'll see. But you got to give them a lot of credit because that, support or lack thereof has had absolutely zero effect on their effort, on the quality of their play.
True. It's kind of been somewhat amazing, actually, in spite of all that. But, let's talk just a little bit about what we think needs to happen heading into this. They got UConn on Saturday. The UConn game is at 2 o'clock, I think. I didn't check to see when the Pittsburgh game is.
It's after,
It's after us. All right, so, in any event, I mean, think of this scenario. Let's say that Notre Dame does beat UConn. They can then go back and sit and watch Pittsburgh. And if somehow Pittsburgh falters, you're looking at a team that literally just stole the
Big East
championship.
Well, I don't think they stole it. I mean, they went out and won it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I just think that in the eyes of everybody else, the media and so forth, I don't see, I watched ESPN the other night, and they had the three commentators on, and Billis was the only guy who didn't pick Mike Bray as Coach of the Year in the Big East.
Who did he pick? Because he loves Bray.
He picked Jamie Dixon, which is absolutely ridiculous because they were preseason picking number
one,
weren't
ridiculous.
They? So I don't know how you could possibly.
I mean, I would pick Lavin or Patino over Dixon for sure.
Oh, easily. The other guys, in fact, teetered on Lavin a little bit.
Well, he might have Coach of the Year tonight because they got crushed by Seton Hall and he got tossed out of the game with two technicals.
Yeah, not only that, but St. John's was actually picked to do better than us this year. So we were seventh, and I think St. John's was preseason.
Yeah, I think they were five or six. Yeah.
But in any event, I do think that in all of this, if Notre Dame can go in and, let's say they lose to UConn. I really don't think that's a big deal.
But
they'll still get the double bye. They're going to be situated well for the tournament. I would even argue, it would be pretty bad to lose the first game of the Big East tournament and be out of it. But even if they win and they get to the finals of the Big East and then all of a sudden head into the tournament, regardless of if they win or lose that, with a little bit of, moxie on their table, I just don't see how, unless they get the most unbelievable, horrible draw, I can't see anybody beating them in the first
two
rounds.
I mean, I think that they'll, and again, I think they'll, we'll see if they, I think we'll see a good effort on Saturday. I think we'll see a good effort in the tournament. I mean, this team is very, they don't get too, they really haven't had any real, they had that little when Scott was hurt and they had a tough time St. John's and Marquette.
Yeah,
but that was really
games.
Their only lull, and it was a shorter lull than a lot of their seasons. So, you know, I expect them to come out and play hard and compete in every game. And the thing, like I said before, I mean, they have to avoid an injury, and they have to avoid one of those 5 or 6 minute spells where they just can't make a basket. And if they can do that, I think they'll be okay. But you know, the this Big East tournament stuff. I mean, this is just out of control. You have to win like 6 nights in a row or 5 nights in a row. I mean, even if you get a double bye. I mean, nobody plays 3 nights in a row anymore. I mean, it's just I don't know if it disadvantages the Big East teams for the following weekend, but I don't know how it makes any economic sense for these schools, because if you're South Florida, DePaul, you fly everybody up for one night and then you lose, and then you go home. Or if you don't, then you've got to what do? You kind of reserve a hotel, and then you probably pay through the nose to reserve it for another night and then extend it another night. And then maybe, you got to have to charter transportation if you're flying, because you don't know when you're going to be leaving. So I just think some of these season ending tournaments are just kind of ridiculous when they include everybody from the entire conference in the action. But for Notre Dame, at least they're going to have a situation where they're going to know pretty much what they're doing and how long they're going to be there. And I hope that they at least win one game in the Big East tournament.
I think if they can win one game, that'll be enough. Right. It'll definitely be enough for them to hold on to the momentum that they have. And heading into the tournament, they're going to be in really good position. I mean, they've been fortunate. Scott really was the only injury of the year so far. And, the surprising thing for me has been that Scott Martin has really not, I don't think, played up to the kind of potential that I think he's capable of.
Well, think about it. You've really got, with the exception of Nash, you've really got four guys that could average between 15 and 20 points a game if they didn't have three other guys that could also do that. I mean, there's only one ball.
Right,
and
exactly.
The biggest thing to me is this, they've all been very unselfish. I mean, Martin, he has a pretty good feel for the game. And, maybe next year he will take that step to be, he and Abro will be the 15 to 20 point guys, right? And Scott will be 10 to 15, and, Cooley will be 7 or 8, and Atkins will be, 5 to 10. His assist turnover ratio will be important, of course. But, they don't need Martin to score 15, 20 points a game. He's had a couple good outfits, but you can tell that he knows how to get his shot. It's just a matter of, it's probably not his role right now.
No, that's exactly right. And, it'll be interesting to see what happens next year. But I think that in spite of everything this year, these guys have really, really gelled well together.
The difference this year, that they probably have a, above-average shot to get to the Sweet 16 and maybe make a little bit of noise after that, is really Hansborough. Because he just brings a little bit more of an edge and a little bit more of a toughness to the court. And this is like not kind of a news flash, but it matters. It matters in the tournament when you come down the court 5 straight times and you miss and you get a bad call or a break goes your way. And that's where they ran into trouble against, Winthrop and against Old Dominion and against, there's a litany of teams where they just have, they've had a psychological barrier that they could not overcome.
Right. And I think more, if there was any game that was ever evident of that, was the Pittsburgh game where he just flat out took over. And they've needed a guy like that. And the good thing is, I think that, in the past, if Herren Godey had a bad game, you'd think, all right, we're done. They've shut him down. We're now done. That's not the case.
Well, the other big difference this year is Abramidis is playing some of his best basketball. Whereas if you remember the last 2 weeks of the year last year, including the tournament,
he
lost his legs. He was obviously tired, and he couldn't make anything.
He didn't play at all.
And when you've got his 6-foot frame roaming out there, knocking down threes, and then he's pretty competent around the basket as well. I mean, that just gives Hansborough more space to operate. Leave Scott open for some mid-range jumpers and a three here and there. Gives Martin a little. I mean, it just opens everything up. So they really, because they relied on Abramidis a lot during the conference season last year, at least the first part of it. And then when he just really kind of disappeared, they just, you know, they really had, you know, they really struggled against, you know, Old Dominion in the tournament and in the
did.
Big East tournament.
Exactly right. Well, and this is a good free throw shooting team.
They've been a little bit shaky on that lately. I mean, that could bite them.
Lately, the last four games, they really haven't shot it very well. But I would think, you know, come crunch time, these guys do tend to hit it. And I'd be real, real surprised if this team doesn't make it to the Sweet 16. And I also wouldn't be real, real surprised if these guys do pull off a miracle and make it to the Elite Eight or possibly even to the Sweet Four, you know, Final Four. It's doable. I mean, this is a team that clearly is totally doable of that. And, you know, you really have to give Mike Bray a lot of credit for that. He's really pulled off an unbelievable season for these guys. And let's hope that the fan base does get behind them. Into the end of this year, as well as leading.
Yeah, no,
into
I mean,
next
if, especially if they play in Chicago, I think they'll have a real good, you know, they'll have real good support, and
I would think so.
And that's, you know, that's terrific. I mean, regardless, I think it's, you know, it's been a fun team to watch, and hopefully we can just kind of sit back and enjoy it, because I think they've got, you know, they've got a real good kind of frame of mind about things, and you know, they don't seem to panic even in games that they've lost by double digits. You didn't get the sense that they were, you know, kind of, you know, giving up. It's just shots weren't going down, and that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I thought that was really evident in the West Virginia game as well. I mean, you could just sense it, the frustration level on their part, and that was definitely a team that did not give up at all. That was just one of those games that got away from them. But, well, let's hope that continues. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.